Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. Donald Trump was the clear choice for president of North Carolina voters in November, but his support in the state appears to be slipping significantly since he took office, while Governor Roy Cooper continues to be popular. Here with the details of the latest surveys is Tom Jensen with Public Policy Polling. Well, Tom, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Let's talk about what voters are thinking in North Carolina these days. You've done some recent polling. I guess we'll start with what's on everybody's mind, President Trump. And I want to make clear this was done before the controversial firing of the FBI director.
Well, polling has universally found that President Trump is unpopular in North Carolina, which is interesting because obviously he won the state by 4 points, but we found him with a negative approval rating, and Elon and High Point have found him really deep into negative territory. Some polls in North Carolina have even had his approval rating in the 30s, which is worse than it is nationally. So I think a lot of people either have buyer's remorse about Trump here, or they voted for him because they thought he was better than Hillary, but they still think that he's done a very poor job since he got into office.
A lot of national stories talking about his unpopularity have said, but his base is still with him. But as you point out, his popularity is far lower than the percentage of the vote he got. How do you sort of explain that phenomenon?
You know, maybe in the national picture, his base is staying with him, but we're definitely seeing that North Carolina is a state where his numbers are worse than what he got in November, which means that you might still have 80 or 85% of his base staying with him here, but he's not picking up anybody who didn't vote for him. So if you lose even 10 or 15% of who did vote for you and you're not adding anybody who didn't vote for you, that really puts you in a weak spot. And it's an unusual situation 4 months into somebody's presidency to have a dynamic like this where you really don't win over anybody after you take office who didn't vote for you. We have a tendency in this country to give new presidents a chance, even if we didn't vote for them. Even somebody like George W. Bush, who came into office under such controversial circumstances, still started office with about a 60% approval rating because even people who didn't like how it went down thought that he deserved a chance. And Trump is really, I'd say historically, the first president we've had who voters just don't feel that way about.
North Carolina also elected Roy Cooper governor. How's he doing in his approval ratings and in comparison to Trump?
Cooper is in good shape, 50% approval rating, only 35% of voters disapprove of him. And you think about the fact that Cooper won by less than 1 point in November, to have a plus 15 net approval rating means that he actually is winning over people who didn't vote for him in a way that Trump didn't. And to put Cooper's numbers into some context, Pat McCrory at this time 4 years ago had a plus 10 net approval rating. Bev Perdue at this time 8 years ago had a minus 17 net approval rating. So Cooper is running a little bit ahead of his immediate predecessor and way ahead of our last Democratic governor. And one thing that was really interesting with both McCrory and Perdue's numbers that's worth keeping an eye on with Cooper over the next couple months is that Pat McCrory and Bev Perdue both, over their first 6 months in office, saw their approval numbers drop and drop and drop. And they actually both had the lowest approval numbers that they ended up having of their entire time in office in July of their first term, and they never recovered. Bev Perdue, I think, fell to about a 25% approval rating in July of her term. Pat McCrory fell down to a 30 to 35% approval rating in July of his term. Neither of them ever got back into positive ground. So that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch with Governor Cooper over the next couple months is, does he have that same sort of precipitous slide as he heads into 6 months in office, or is he able to hold up his numbers? So far, he's holding up his numbers a lot better than either McCrory or Perdue did.
What about the General Assembly? We're in the middle of a legislative session. As we were talking earlier, a lot of the attention that maybe used to be focused on the legislature by sort of casual observers is focused on Washington. But do you get a sense of what people think of the General Assembly?
They remain as unpopular as ever. Only 20% of voters approve of them. About 50% of voters disapprove of them. But I think one thing that does work to their benefit is you have about a third of voters who just don't have an opinion about the General Assembly one way or the other because they just don't pay very much attention to it. In this era where there's so much crazy stuff going on in Washington, it's a lot easier to have crazy stuff go on in Raleigh and have voters just not really be attuned to it. So you know, it's sort of an interesting dynamic. But I think the thing that's probably hurting Republicans in the legislature the most right now as we look towards 2018 elections is the health care bill in Washington. We definitely saw in 2010 that a lot of Democrats in the state legislature got voted out of office because voters were unhappy about stuff that had happened in Washington with health care and otherwise. And I think we're going to see a similar sort of dynamic in North Carolina. Right now, if you're a Republican legislator in Wake County or Mecklenburg County, you are in bad shape heading into 2018 because national dynamics are causing some of those suburban districts, some of which already went Democratic in 2016, to really see that trend sort of accelerate.
Yeah, you mentioned the health care. I was going to ask you about that. The conventional wisdom has been for a long time that the Affordable Care Act was unpopular in North Carolina and hurt Democrats. Where are we now in terms of the Affordable Care Act and this bill that the Republicans have passed, at least in the House, to repeal it?
Well, I can speak to those two issues on a national basis, and I'm sure the situation's similar in North Carolina. The Affordable Care Act is at record levels of popularity now nationally. We find that a majority of voters support it now. Our last national poll, we found opposition to the Affordable Care Act all the way down to 31%, which is just amazing when you think about how unpopular that bill was perceived to be 5 years ago. The American Health Care Act, we're finding right now in swing congressional districts, has only about 30% support, about 55% opposition. The Affordable Care Act never, at its lowest moment, was ever as unpopular as the American Health Care Act is. So I'm sure those trends are similar in North Carolina. You know, what's really interesting, we went into a congressional district in Nevada this week that voted for Donald Trump by 12 points. And we found in that district, again, a 12-point Trump win district, that voters were evenly split on the Affordable Care Act, and they opposed the American Health Care Act by 15 points. So you're going into these places that are strong Republican territory and finding strong opposition to this health care bill. So that certainly is going to do interesting things to the congressional picture for next year, but it's also going to bleed on down to state-level offices. And I think that 2018 probably, in terms of legislative gains in North Carolina for Democrats, might be the best year they've had since the 2006 wave.
North Carolina's members of Congress are all sort of, not all, but a lot of them are in the spotlight. Senator Burr is the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Representative Meadows is the head of the Freedom Caucus. We've heard Representative McHenry was intimately involved. Do you think this, the American Health Care Act and Trump's bizarre performance, will have any impact on the Republican congressional delegation?
Well, we certainly are in a situation where we don't really have any districts that were drawn to be competitive. But I do think that some of these special congressional elections we've had across the country are kind of interesting. For instance, Democrats only lost by 7 points in a congressional district in Kansas that Trump had won by more than 20 points. So the Democrat outperformed Hillary Clinton's performance in the district by 15 points. Well, there's a lot of districts in North Carolina that Trump won by like 10 or 12 points. So if there was a situation where the Democrat actually could outperform how Hillary Clinton did in that district by 15 points, like we saw in that Kansas district, some districts like George Holding's district, like Ted Budd's district, do start to look a little bit more competitive. And what will be really interesting to see is if Democrats can actually recruit strong candidates in those districts, knowing that it's probably like a 10% chance to win, but if you actually have a good candidate there and everything comes together, sometimes you win in places you don't like expect to win like that. And I think the real good example of that was when Larry Kissel beat Robin Hayes. He was on nobody's radar and was able to take advantage of a good political climate to pull an upset.
From your vast experience in the polling world, if Trump's popularity continues to either stay as low as it is or drop even further with the recent events that we've had, is it possible for Republicans in North Carolina to distance themselves from him, or are they tied closely together?
I think it's impossible for them to distance themselves from him. Another historical perspective from 2010 is that even the Democrats who voted against Obamacare in the House still lost their seats in 2010, because ultimately, if you are a member of the president's party, you are going to be defined by what he does, whether you agree with it all or not. So I do not think that anybody is going to be able to run away from Trump. And I think one thing that's interesting in North Carolina is we don't see a whole lot of Republican leaders really running away from Trump anyway. You occasionally will hear Richard Burr saying, oh, I don't totally agree with what what Trump did, but nothing in terms of like real strong condemnation that would make voters be like, oh, this Republican really is independent of Trump.
Finally, before I let you go, just getting back to North Carolina again, from your experience, voters in North Carolina, what's on their minds in terms of issues? You mentioned health care, I guess education. The Republicans always want to talk about taxes as the top issue.
Yeah, we rarely find that taxes are at the top of the list. Right now, we're really finding that health care is the biggest thing. It's interesting. It's eclipsed the economy as the top issue, which that's the first time anything other than the economy has been the top issue really in about 10 years. So definitely health care is high up on the list. The economy is still second. Don't hear a lot about taxes. I still think that there's going to be some ramifications on HB2 moving forward. You know, it may be off the table, but the damage was sort of done in terms of that being something that voters were unhappy with. And certainly voters aren't giving Republicans any credit for finally getting that off the book. So the issue set right now, I think, really works to Democrats' advantage.
Well, thanks for being with us. As always, fascinating information, and we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chris.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.